The reading is taken from Colossians 1, verses 15 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Today's reading is from John 14, starting at verse 1. And finishing at verse 40, Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to think about who Jesus is. And I pray, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, lead me in my words and help each one of us in our hearts and our minds as we pay attention to who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm really excited today because I get to speak on my favourite subject. No, it's not cake. No, it's not the violin. It's not cats. It's not even Formula One. That one might surprise some of you. It is, of course, Jesus. Nothing comes close to Jesus. But before we get on to that, a story to begin with. You need to use your imagination a bit. I want you to imagine that every single one of us has been kidnapped this morning after this service, after watching it online or in the building. We've all been put in a big van and we've all been injected with something that means that we lose our memory. After a while, we wake up in a room with no windows and no doors. And for a long time, no one says anything to anyone. Maybe we're all wondering what's outside these walls. Eventually, one brave person speaks up. I think outside these walls are huge pink elephants. Then someone else speaks and says, no, it's not huge pink elephants. It's tiny green monkeys. Then someone else says, no, that's not it either. That's just nonsense. There's nothing outside these walls. You cannot believe anything. So you've made something in your life to make life more bearable. Who's right? Well, if we think about it, none of us would know because we can't know. It's all speculation. We have no access to outside the room. We might as well let them believe whatever they want to believe. But then we realise that as we look up, there's a noise coming from the ceiling and there's a saw coming down through the ceiling, cutting a hole in it. And then a ladder comes down through that hole and someone climbs down the ladder and claims to be from outside the room. Does that change anything? Of course it does. That person can now speak from a vantage point of knowledge and experience. Many in our culture think that they can't know anything about God because it's all in the realm of speculation. Maybe that's you today. But what if the God who created us made contact with our world? What we need is for that to happen, isn't it? And if that happened, we would go from speculation to revelation. Well, I believe that we have that revelation, that we've gone from speculation to revelation, and we've done that in the person of Jesus. And if that is the case, which I believe it is, then we need to listen to him. We need to look at the evidence for him. We need to look at his life. We need to ask, who is Jesus? Well, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the evidence for Jesus in a couple of different ways. But the first one, I think, is the most important. And I believe that that is Scripture, the Bible, the Word of God, as I like to call it. Now, I could give you lots of reasons why I believe the Bible is worth reading, that it is good evidence, that we need to take note of it. And we will be looking at that in a couple of weeks' time. But suffice to say for this moment, because of lack of time, that it is reliable evidence as far as I am concerned. And I'm not alone in saying that. Millions of people believe that to be the case. And so we're going to have a look at these two passages from the readings that we had, these biblical evidence of who Jesus is. First of all, we have this Colossians reading, which is a letter from Paul to the church in Colossae. And if we look at it, it's actually a confession of faith in who Jesus is. There's lots of complex words. It's got deep theology in it, and we'll only be able to scratch the surface this morning. But at its heart, it is a passage telling us about who Jesus is. The second evidence that we have is from John's Gospel, and it's words from Jesus to his disciples after he tells them that he is leaving them. And in this passage, Jesus makes claims about himself to his worried, his troubled disciples. And I want to bring two big points from these two readings out, with a few other little points to help us understand those two big points. The first of these is that Jesus is supreme. We read in that Colossians reading, right at the start of it, that the Son, that's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Jesus, the Son of God, makes God the Father known. So when we look to Jesus, we find God the Father. In that reading in John's Gospel, Philip, one of the disciples, says to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." Jesus's response, which I think is probably quite exasperated, it says this: "Don't you know me, even after I spent all this time with you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? It is the Father living in me who is doing his work. I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves. In all that Jesus was doing was evidence of the Father in him. In the miracles that he performed, in the signs and the wonders, in his teaching, he was showing that he was the image of the invisible God. God made visible, God incarnate. Right at the start of John's Gospel, it says this: "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Jesus makes God the Father known. He is God with skin on. He is supreme. Following on from that, we can also say that Jesus is fully God. So when we say that Jesus is in the image of the Father, Jesus qualifies that by saying that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. In other words, they are one and the same. It's not like saying, "I am like my Father," which I am. It's far more than that. In the Colossians reading, it says God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. In other words, nothing of God's fullness, nothing of God is lacking in Jesus. Jesus is completely God. As a reminder, isn't it, that we need to be careful, I've said this before, when we say Jesus and God, because it can separate the Father and the Son. But if Jesus is fully God, then we need to listen to him, surely. He is supreme. He is fully God. And he is also supreme creator of all things, visible and invisible, it says in Colossians. Jesus was there in creation. Just look back to the beginning of Genesis where it says, "Let us make humankind in our image." Just one example. Jesus is creator. He is supreme creator. And as well as that, he is supreme before all things. He holds all things together, it says in Colossians. He was before the earth. He is supreme in all things. In other words, he has authority over all creation. And we see that again and again in scripture, don't we? In Jesus' life, we see Jesus calming the sea. We see him walking on water. We see him raising the dead, healing the sick. Jesus is supreme before all things. And he is supreme over life and death as well. In Colossians, it says he is the beginning of the firstborn of the dead, which is a reference to Jesus' resurrection. Jesus was the first one to rise, defeating death and paving the way for all who follow him to show that death is no longer the end, that there is more to come. His resurrection is vital. It shows who he is. It shows his supreme authority over life and death. We'll think about that more in the coming weeks. And so we could sum all of that up in one phrase, that Jesus is supreme, that he is Lord of all. He is all of the things above that I've said. He is above all things as well. Jesus is Lord of all. He is supreme. So that's about who Jesus is in his very being. But what about who Jesus is in relationship to us? Well, I believe we can say this. The evidence shows us also that Jesus is sufficient. All you need is Jesus. We read in Colossians that Jesus reconciles all things by making peace through his blood on the cross. In other words, his death is once and for all. We'll think about the cross in a few weeks, but the cross is how Jesus made it possible for us to be in relationship with God. The cross is about reconciliation, about making peace between humanity and God, between you and God. And the fact is that sin, the things that we do that we shouldn't, is like a barrier between us and God. Think back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they ate the fruit from the tree of knowledge and it all went a bit pear-shaped, whatever fruit it was, apple, whatever. And they were banished, weren't they, from God's presence. But through the cross, Jesus broke that barrier, literally. A curtain in the temple, which is the place where God's presence was torn in two as Jesus died. And that is a symbol, a reminder of the barrier between us and God being broken down. Jesus is all you need to be reconciled to God, to make peace with God. And the most amazing thing is that with that, when we put our trust in Jesus, as well as being reconciled, as well as being forgiven, as well as being freed from the barrier of sin, we become children of God. So that like Jesus, we can call God Father. Put it plain and simple, Jesus has done everything for you that you need. Jesus is sufficient. He claims in John's Gospel as well that he is the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, he is the way to eternal life, the way to the Father, which is what the disciples were trying to ask him. They were wondering and worried about what he was saying. And Jesus is saying, I am the way. I am the only way to the Father. But as I said a few weeks ago, he's also the way to life today, life in all its fullness. He's the truth. So that when we know Jesus, as Jesus goes on to say in that passage in John, we know the Father as well. He is the life, because in him is life now and in eternity. We know, we've already thought about the fact that Jesus is supreme over life and death, that he has defeated death, opening the way to eternal life. With Jesus, we can know life in all its fullness and have meaning to our lives as well. As I said just a couple of weeks ago, Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So all of that evidence shows us that Jesus is the most important person ever to have walked on the earth he created, that he is supreme. And the evidence also shows us that he is the most important person we ever need to know as well. He is all we need. He is sufficient. But as I said, there is other evidence. And I want to mention one more piece of evidence, or rather actually millions or even billions of pieces of evidence. The second evidence of who Jesus is a challenge for those of us who trust in Jesus. Because the second evidence I want to mention is the lives of those who believe and trust in Jesus. I know many people who have come to faith in Jesus because of the evidence of their lives, of their friends. So if you believe in Jesus, you are walking evidence of him. And have you ever thought of it in that way before? It's a challenge, isn't it, for all of us, that those of us who look to see who Jesus is, look to us. How can you show Jesus this week? In John's Gospel, Jesus says, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. How will Jesus work in you this week? What works will he do? Why not ask him to do so this week so that you can be the evidence of Jesus to those you meet this week? One visible example we have just this week is of Harvest. Thank you so much for all the offerings and the gifts that you have brought already. Here's a picture of a few. And actually, this is from a couple of days ago, so I know there's been more that's come in since this. This is just a simple way of showing Jesus to others. But of course, doing good things isn't just reserved to those who are Christians. Lots of people do good, but it's a starting point, and it's a demonstration of Jesus' love. The fact is, it's a challenge, isn't it, to recognise that our lives, our actions show Jesus to the world. Sadly, the church hasn't always done that very well. And when I say the church, I mean the church national and global. And I can say that with a heavy heart this week after the ICSA report into child abuse in the Anglican Church in England and Wales. We need to be repentant as a church. We need to change. But as our Colossians reading reminds us, Jesus is the head of the church. So if you have problems with the church in general, remember that Jesus is the head. He is in charge. We just sadly mess it up, and sometimes more than others, because we are fallible, because we make mistakes, because we get things wrong. Thankfully, we live by grace, though. So please don't let the church put you off Jesus. As Christians, our lives tell a story of Jesus. How might your life do that this week? I want to finish, though, with a word to those of you who are questioning who Jesus is. And I just want to share a very brief story from my own perspective. I grew up in a Christian family. Some of you know that my dad is a vicar. And I went away to music college when I was 18 and lived in my second year in a house share. During that year, when I hadn't really been to church much, hadn't been to the Christian Union or anything like that, a couple of my housemates did a Ouija board in the house when I was out. I came back to find that out, and it really threw me. I knew there was something not right about it. So I turned to the Christian Union. And what I found when I turned to that Christian Union, and to others as well, was that I met Jesus in them. And what I realised in that is that I needed to take Jesus seriously. I'd been brought up a Christian, but I still had to make a personal decision to follow him and to believe him. My heart, like the disciples, after Jesus tells them he's leaving them in John 14, was troubled. But as Jesus showed in our reading from John, the answer to troubled hearts is faith in Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled, he says. Trust in me. Trust in Jesus, the one who is supreme, the one who is sufficient. So I encourage you, take who Jesus claims to be seriously. That's for all of us, whether we know him or not. Because he is like the one who came down that stepladder to meet you. Actually, he's so much more than that.